Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Spin Rate, The Athletic's Toronto Blue Jays podcast. My name is Drew Fairservice, and yes, we're here talking about your wild card leading Toronto Blue Jays. Hot off a big doubleheader here when we are speaking on Wednesday. We, of course, my name is Drew Fairservice. I host Spin Rate podcast one and often twice a week for The Athletic, where I'm joined by The Athletic's baseball writer, Caitlin McGrath. Caitlin will be back next week. And then today, for the second week in a row, joined in the middle of the week by former Blue Jays All-Star. He joins me from beautiful downtown, the beach, Ricky Romero. Ricky, how are you?
Doing good, man. Ready to roll. Glad they pulled off that win yesterday. It was a big win. Good to see Manoa wasn't affected much. Obviously, it looked like he really didn't lose the beat. He was the same old guy. I think everyone was worried about him and the stomach bug that he had. And he obviously said he didn't really sleep and all that stuff. So lucky for them, they were able to plug somebody else in the day game, which they made close. So in all, I mean, it was a good series in Texas and a good start to the series here against the Tampa Bay Rays.
The Blue Jays have done exactly what they need to do over the last however many weeks. Well, when we sat here and we said, oh, they've got this stretch coming up and they got to be able to take advantage of playing against these bad teams. They got to be able to hold off, the hard charging Orioles. They've done everything. They've done everything they could ever hope to do. Not only just splitting the doubleheader on Tuesday, but the way that they did it, you couldn't have asked for a better outcome, right? I mean, obviously you prefer to sweep, but the fact that they, used three pitchers in game one, Mitch White going six strong innings, giving up three runs in his return to the big leagues after being sent down, after the Blue Jays, of course, used the opener, which is something that we talked about on this show. I'm feeling like a genius right now because they did it and it worked. And then, of course, Manoa, who just like you said, gutted through the Alec Manoa flu game. He posted that photo of Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan on his Instagram. Just a great day for him. If you haven't heard, when you've heard this, I would be surprised. But Alec Manoa woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning and he was not well. And then they bumped him from game one to game two. They hit him hard with all of the, God only knows what they gave him. I prefer not to know. I prefer not to ask, what kind of fluids and what kind of magic potion. And maybe they got the soccer magic spray out to get him out there. And he pitched really, really well. This is a different kind of Tampa Bay Rays team. A lot has been made about the way that they run the bases. And they're not quite the offensive juggernaut that a team of their record probably would look like. But a great day for the Blue Jays. Again, splitting a doubleheader, but it feels like they swept just because of the way that they did it. They're set up well now. They're ahead of both the Mariners and the Rays in the race for the wild card. Still six games back of the Yankees, who of course beat the Red Sox in extra innings on Tuesday night. But they can only control these things right now. They can only go out there and try to play these Rays tough. Now they're up 2-1 in this five-game series. One more win would be huge. Even if not, they will have more than held their own. They will, even if they only drop a game to the Rays over this five-game series, you got to feel pretty good about that, because that way you're not bringing the Orioles back in. Of course, the Blue Jays will be off to face the Orioles. But we can talk about the obvious in a little bit, but what about you? I don't know if you saw anything from Mitch White that you liked, something that maybe looked a little bit more like what we would have liked to see from Mitch White. I heard some folks talking about he was using his fastball a lot more, which kind of really seemed to like set up his other pitches. Just a good outing. Again, he's the fifth starter. It's okay that he's not going to go out there and look like Jacob DeGrom every time out. But six effective innings, even if they did come, after the opener went out there, that's all you can ever hope for. And really, I think what everyone expected when the Jays picked up Mitch White at the trade deadline.
And I think one of the things with Mitch White is he had some bad luck to go his way yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
We saw some poor defensive plays. And when a guy is struggling, you just feel like those things are under a microscope even more. But other than that, I mean, we talked about having an opener for him and and maybe that would kind of relieve some pressure, or I don't know, maybe it did something different. But he just looked like a guy that was going out there attacking the zone. And like you said, more fastballs. I feel like the recipe for success for a pitcher is never going to change. It's going to be fastball control. And if you're able to control your fastball, spot your fastball. I mean, we see a guy in Yusei Kikuchi who has tremendous fastball, but he can't locate it. And it doesn't help if you can't locate it. So I think that part of the game has never changed. And it never will. If you don't have fastball command, if you're not locating your fastball, then you're not going to be a good pitcher in the big leagues. And what we saw from Mitch White was yesterday was he was attacking with his heater. He was using his off speed really well. And again, when you're able to do that, and the Rays are not a team that wow you on paper, but man, can they play ball. They can pitch. And I tweeted about that yesterday. I was like, I don't know what's in the water in the Tampa Bay organization, but it just seems like every year they just have pitchers that can go out there and do their thing. But you watch them and it's like the fastball command, they know how to pitch. They know how to use pitches in different situations. And I think it's a credit to that organization. I'm sitting here and I'm like, do other teams not pay attention to what they do? Like how are the Rays so far ahead in pitching every single year? And just like, you know, McClanahan's not a household name. It's not a guy that anybody talks about. Springs is not a guy that everyone talks about. But they go out there and just do their thing. And they have the Rays. They had them in second place for a long time up until obviously yesterday where the Blue Jays were able to pull off that game. And again, the name of the game in pitching is never going to change. It's going to be fastball command, and Mitch White definitely had that yesterday.
Your point about the Rays is such a good one, because it's not just that they're just finding these guys. Like, they're not developing all these guys right out of nowhere. They don't. It's, you know, it's a little bit almost different than the Yankees, where the Yankees just seem to be able to forge these guys in some kind of evil furnace. But you take a guy like Jason Lane, who of course gave up the big hit to Bo Bichette there on Monday night, but he was a former member of the Blue Jays and never was really, you know, never really able to kind of pull it together. But the Rays are able to kind of unlock something in these guys a lot of the time. They can really, like, you know, and I don't know about what you've heard or what you've talked to, but there was a great story of a couple of years back. I think it was Eno Saris of The Athletic that wrote it, actually, that was about how much people like playing for the Rays, that the Rays come in with a plan, and the players, the guys that work with them, I guess, seem to really buy in, and whatever that connection is, whatever that is, like, if it's a straight up, like, we're going to help you get paid. We're going to, you know, you know how things go around here. We're going to invest in you for all the time that you're here. You know, it might not be for a long time, but we're going to make sure that you play well, and that you have fun when you're here, and then you play your best, and hopefully you can take that and have a long career, whatever. I mean, it's not going to be here. We're not going to pay you, but somebody else will. But it works, and it's really interesting model. But at the same time, the Blue Jays have a different model, and that is that they have just a lot of guys who can really hit. And even though we still really haven't seen Vlad and Bo going at the same time, you know, we haven't seen Vlad, Bo, and Springer going at the same time. We have seen Matt Chapman obviously have great months and then kind of slow months. But, like, you're just in tough against the Blue Jays. And if you are a pitcher who comes in and has even just a little bit of an off day, you're going to get got. And that's exactly what happened with Colin Pochi last night, who just, you know, couldn't get outs. And then the Rays, uncharacteristically, I guess, giving away free bases, you know, kind of moving guys up. And then Whit Merrifield was finally able to deliver an extra base hit in a huge moment. And then, of course, Springer goes deep. But the kind of battle between a really good offensive team and a really good pitching team in the, you know, yesterday, especially in game two of the doubleheader, those good hitters really won out. And we've seen that also all week, you know, as well, with Bo having that great battle against, what's that big tall guy's name?
Amos?
The closer. I can't believe I forgot his name.
For the Rays, right?
Yeah. I can't believe I've forgotten his name.
Adam?
Oh my God, I'm losing my mind. This is terrible. This is terrible radio right now. But
no, Jason Adam.
No, Jason Adam was the guy who played for the Jays. I was thinking about the guy who had that, Bo had that great battle. Pete Fairbanks, sorry, that's what I was thinking about.
Fairbanks.
He had that great battle with Fairbanks, and then obviously ended up grounding out to end the game, but still a great battle. So that's, you know, we've seen, you know, these great Jays hitters, you know, come up in these different spots, and he's able to get Adam, and then Fairbanks gets him. But then you can get Bo at one time, but now you got to get Kirkko, then you got to get Teoscar Hernandez, then you got to get Matt Chapman. And the Blue Jays are a great offensive team, and this is just you know, and they can pitch a little bit too. It's a little bit of a different style, right? The Jays don't have as many guys that throw so hard, but I don't think we can say enough about the way the Jays bullpen has pitched in the last, like, month. They've been incredible. So to kind of pivot off of your point, yeah, the Rays can really pitch, but man, the Jays, They have not, their bullpen is nothing to sneeze at. It's not, maybe not as sexy, but boy, they sure get outs a lot.
They do get outs. And you know what, Drew? And this is where I'll take the time. I think it's time we show John Schneider a little bit of love and the way he has pressed the right buttons. Yeah, especially yesterday, last night, you bring in Whit Merrifield in a big situation and he comes through, and just the way he's managed that bullpen, the way that I feel like he's showing more trust in like the starters too. And he ran, you know, I feel like in the past, Berrios probably wouldn't have gone out for the seventh inning, and he ran him back out there and gave him an opportunity to maybe get deeper into the game. And I feel like he's getting the best out of these pitchers, the guys obviously that are playing for him every single day. And I mean, how do you not love him going at Kyle Snyder from one dugout to the next after Bo Bichette takes a ball to the face? And there's that clip of him yelling at the dugout, telling him to bring it. And then obviously Pete Walker's in the background too. And I think these guys are starting to realize how much John Schneider cares about them. And I'm sure they already know, but I feel like it shows even more the passion that Schneider brings in every single day and how much they enjoy playing for him. And I feel like he's made the right moves. He's pressed the right buttons. I feel like sometimes we're so quick to criticize managers when they press the wrong buttons, but right now he's doing a pretty good job at the way he's kind of riding this ship and being the captain of it.
I really like the way that you phrase that, because it's easy to praise the manager when the moves work out. But I think that what you've seen is a different sort of philosophy. And I think it is that pushing guys, but in a way that's like, I know you can do this, that, like that increasing that kind of belief in them. If it's pushing, you know, Jimmy Garcia for multi-inning outings, if it's going to Jordan Romano and asking him to get 4, 5, 6 outs, finding times to rest them, but also being able to kind of ask that of them. But when you are backing it up, I think with that belief and that, and maybe, and support and being like, I know I'm going to ask you to do this because I know that you can. And I know that, you know, the team needs you and you know that, and that you can get these 4 outs. You can push a little bit and I'll make sure I get you the rest. You know, we've got other guys we can go to too. So, you know, you've got, the Blue Jays have a lot of luxury with a guy like Adam Simber, right? Who just goes every day if you need him to. Anthony Bass, who's pitched a ton this year. So the ability to kind of rely on those sorts of guys, now having Zach Pop back there, having Tim Mesa being healthy and effective again, you know, they just have a lot of guys that they can go to. I'm almost reluctant to call them weapons, right? Because again, in the bullpen, we think about this guy comes out, he throws 100, and then that guy behind him throws 100, but that's not how the Blue Jays bullpen operates. But it's really, really hard to argue with the results lately. And I think it's only fair to give credit to the manager. And as you said, we've seen him in the late game on Tuesday in particular, just really push every right button, everything worked out. Pinch hitter, you know, being able to take advantage, I guess, of the flexibility and the depth of the bench. You can call on Danny Jansen because, you know, you got the third catcher out there on the bench. You can find opportunities to use Bradley Zimmer, where, you know, how many other guys on that team are scoring from first base on the double down the left field line, right? Probably not. That's their, the Blue Jays are not a fast team. They have a couple fast guys. They have some really good and aggressive base runners, but that's one of those things that just worked out. But it's a manager putting the right player in the right place to succeed, and then he can go out and then make some plays in the outfield, which we've seen Jackie Bradley Jr. do, of course. Who, man, I knew it when he played for the Red Sox that he's as good in the outfield as anybody in like my recent memory. He's to me, he's better than Kevin Kiermaier. He is such a good outfielder. He's so fun to watch out there.
It's the way that he glides too. It's not like he's like full speed. It's like he knows where the ball is going to be and he gets to it, and that's fun to watch, especially when you have a guy like that late in the game that you need some defensive protection and he's out there and you just feel comfortable bringing him out. And yeah, I feel like it was a sneaky pickup. Obviously you didn't get him for his bat or anything like that. Bradley Zimmer is not there for his bat, and obviously sometimes that is needed off the bench, but a guy like Whit Merrifield yesterday coming through, he needed that for this team, for himself. I feel like it's been a little bit of a rough go, and it's good that he came through. And I feel like once the playoffs comes, obviously if the Jays get there, which it looks like right now they will, they're going to need guys off the bench to be able to come in and produce. So I'm sure Whit Merrifield's going to be in line for these type of situations going forward. Obviously, we've seen Kevin Biggio come in late in the game too. So all these guys, if they're going to win, if they're going to, you know, make it past the wild card round into the division series and so on and so forth, it's going to take, obviously, every single guy in that clubhouse. It's not just going to be one guy. I know we sometimes put so much emphasis. Oh, like Vladdy's not going right now. Well, shoot, they're winning ball games. Can you imagine if he's going hot and Bo's going hot? They're going to be that much better. But the way baseball is, sometimes it is just like that. And one guy can be carrying a team and so on and so forth. But I feel like the guys in the bench have to stay ready because there's going to be a lot of situations that present themselves. We've seen John Schneider likes playing matchups, and he's ready for, you know, for the next move. If somebody brings in a lefty or a righty, he's ready to counter. And I feel like it's those guys that are, you know, on the bench, they're going to be key going forward.
You know, going back to exactly what you said about John Schneider, the knowledge that these support players know that they're going to get in the game. They're going to have opportunities. They're going to be asked to do stuff. They're not just sitting there and it's like, okay, you can start once a week. Like, yeah, okay, I'll let you start on Sunday. And then if there's a day game on Wednesday, maybe I'll put you in then. It's like every night we're going to need you. Do your work, get ready. And there's, you know what I'm going to ask you to do, and you know what you're here to do, and you know what you're capable of doing at the big league level. So just come and do it, be yourself. And I think that's it seems like there's a lot of buy-in, if nothing else, externally from the outside. It just looks like everybody gets it. Everybody knows why they're there and that what difference they can make and how they can all just kind of make a difference in the team winning. And that's what they're doing. They're not blowing people away. They're not coming in and destroying everyone, even though they beat, you know, they beat up on the Pirates, but they weren't necessarily the most convincing wins, or the games against the Cubs, whatever. They've won a ton of games in the second half. They are playing really well. The schedule lined up for them, but looks good. It's hard to complain. And I want to send a shout out to Kevin Biggio. I've been very critical of Kevin Biggio in the past. He's doing his job really well. And in addition to that, at the plate, he's made himself a lot more dangerous. He's hitting the ball harder than ever. He's hitting the ball hard more often. You know, all of his expected numbers and stuff are all up. You know, the Blue Jays have done a good job, and John Schneider and probably Charlie Montoya before him do a good job of putting him in that position to succeed, getting him those good matchups, giving him regular playing time, letting him know where he can contribute, and he's doing that, and it just makes things easier. And I saw there was a stat talking about how much production each team in the league has gotten from like their 6, 7, 8, and 9 places in the batting order. Blue Jays were way ahead, highest on base percentage, highest slugging percentage, and it's easy, you know, sometimes when the team looks like it's not going very well, or when there were definitely times this, not even that long ago, where there was really a lot of slumping going on and there were just a bunch of guys that weren't really contributing. But you look at where the Jays are and you compare them to the rest of the league, and it's because there isn't like a set 7, 8, 9 guy. You know, you've got different players who can really slot in, different matchups you can play, different opportunities. Okay, should we play? Are we going for defense? Do we need Jackie Bradley Jr. out there to like help catch the ball? Are we trying to score more runs? Whatever it is. Right now, it looks like a pretty well-built team playing well, and everybody's buying in.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, buying in. And even listening to Bo Bichette, his interviews, and obviously he's not as enthusiastic as as you would think. He's very straight face and poker face, but he talks about how close this team is and how, you know, there's a goal in mind to obviously win it all. And I feel like the guys in the clubhouse are they mesh well together. And I feel like obviously it's a big part to having guys like George Springer, and, you know, and then you have like a younger guy like Alec Manoa, how he's full of life every single day. And then obviously you mix that up with like a Ross Stripling and a Jose Berrios. And it just seems like these guys honestly, genuinely like really care for each other. And that's huge when you're able to have that in the clubhouse. But it starts with their leader and John Schneider. And I feel like when you look at a young manager like him, he's not scared to go out there and let the umpire have it, have his guys' backs. Even Pete Walker, we've seen him always, you know, be top stepping in. And I feel like when you have that leadership from the top, it kind of trickles on down to the players, and you run a loose clubhouse and you know what it takes to win. You know what you have to do every single night in, night out. Like you said, I feel like these guys know what's expected of them every single night. Jordan Romano can come into a night saying, you know what, this night I might be needed from the eighth and ninth inning. Or Jimmy Garcia might come in and know, all right, I know I'm pitching the eighth inning with the lead. So there's always like, I think that there's good communication, and it's just showing right now for the Toronto Blue Jays. They needed to take care of business when they went to Pittsburgh, they did. Obviously, when they went to Baltimore, they did. And then they go to Texas and they went 2 out of 3 there too. And we're sitting here, I feel like a lot of fans were like, man, the five games against the Rays, and then the Baltimore Orioles are coming in town. Like, this can be scary time, but I feel like the Blue Jays are playing about as loose as they can be, and they should be. I mean, they should be a team that everyone else fears, because one, they can pitch; two, they can bang with the best of them. So I'm waiting to see that game, like you said, where there's a Vladdy and Bo, and they're both like going off 3-for-4 or 4-for-4 type of night, and 10 runs, and just kind of blow out the Rays, one of those games. You just want to see that again, and because, you know, we've seen when this offense is going like that, and, you know, with Stripling going off and then so on and so forth to the bottom of the lineup, then it's a fun lineup, and if they keep pitching the way they do, I mean, Ross Stripling, what else can you say about him? Obviously, we know what we're going to get out of Manoa and what he's been able to do. Berrios has been solid too. Gausman has been solid, but Ross Stripling, man, I mean, this is a guy, again, that had no role coming in other than maybe being the long relief guy. And the way he stepped in to be the number four guy for this rotation has been tremendous. And I feel like he's the unsung hero of this season. And I'm sure Manoa gets a lot of MVP votes for the team MVP and maybe Bo Bichette. But Ross Stripling deserves to be in that conversation and what he's been able to do.
Invaluable. A, the innings, B, the quality of the innings, and B, just being able to take the turn every time around. I think that's, you don't want to jinx it, but the Blue Jays have been so healthy in the rotation. That's huge. Not only is it better to have your number one or two starter, or a guy who might be struggling, you know, working through it, it's always better to have him out there than a guy who's, you know, the eighth or ninth guy in the depth chart, right? Where you can just, you know what you're going to get. And we've seen Jose Barrios almost like grow into the season. Obviously still his numbers are not great on balance, but I think that A, the Blue Jays keep winning games when he starts, even though when he doesn't pitch that well, and B, just the ability to get out there and be healthy and be on the mound and pitch those innings and have that image where you saw them when they're walking in, you know, they all walk in together from the bullpen. Just like a really tight unit. One thing I think about, you know, we talk about the team and the kind of togetherness. I feel like having guys, you know, like Alec Manoa, I think George Springer, who speaks Spanish, you know, guys like Teoscar Hernandez, whose English is beautiful. And like, I feel like just like that ability, not that communicate, and then just be able to find those guys that can find the, like, some, like, you feel like you see them in the dugout and it's like Bo Bichette and Matt Chapman are like on the same wavelength, right? Like, they're the same kind of dude. They're like super serious and they're happy to have fun. They're happy to crack a smile. And then maybe they'll wander down and like hang out with the guys who are looking to keep it light and are really kind of talking and really verbal. But I feel like the ability of a guy like Springer, who's a leader, B, done it, but then he can move in through every like clique in the clubhouse. If that's the case, if he's able to hop in and like speak with guys, so there's no communication concerns. There's nothing that gets lost in translation. I think that goes a long way. And it's something that, you know, you get the sense from the Blue Jays front office, like the Ross Atkins of the world, that's something that they have always prized. They value guys who can come in and get it and people who can come in and kind of buy into that concept and do whatever needs to be done to make everybody comfortable. And I think that, you know, you've seen it. The Blue Jays have been through some ups and downs this year, but I think that they're playing good baseball and everybody's buying in, and it can't help but hurt on top of the fact that they're very, very talented.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good time for them to be playing the way they are. And obviously, we were worried a couple weeks ago. I mean, this is before they went on that run. We were like, man, like, they can be on the outside looking in. And it's all of a sudden like they turn this jet on. And I feel like it's still not the best version of themselves either. I feel like they're still, the ceiling is still so high for this team that we still haven't seen it. The way that they have played baseball lately, the way that they're going out there and doing the job that they need to do, they've put themselves in this position to be leading the wild card race. And if you asked me last night, I was locked in on that San Diego Padres-Seattle Mariners game. And I was like, man, like, they bring in Josh Hader in the ninth inning. And I'm like, oh, my God, here we go.
He's like, good. He's fixed. He's fixed now. All good.
He's good. He's good. Yeah. He was throwing 99 in, and you can just tell he was confident in his pitches. But I feel like it's going to, up until the last game of the season, it's going to, we're still not going to know who's the first team, the second team, or the third team in that wild card race. I feel like the shuffling is going to continue to happen just because the Blue Jays face the Rays and the Orioles so much here at the end. And obviously they have a series against the Yankees. But I mean, if they continue on this trend, I mean, can they possibly find themselves maybe making a run at that division because it's not out of reach. And the Yankees obviously have been playing okay baseball, but let's say they take the series against the Rays, and I don't know, man. I mean, they can be four games out possibly, and then with the chance to maybe make up some ground if the Yankees continue to lose and they continue to win, it's definitely a possibility.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're gonna tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
A couple things. Number one, sorry, I got three things I'm going to say. It's easy because you and I get here and we talk once a week, and it's easy to kind of get caught up in like the kind of the boat that gets caught in the seas. The Blue Jays had a losing record in August, but again, if you look at them over the second half, they're 30-19 since the All-Star break. So like that's good. That's a good team. That's winning 61% of the games. You're going to win a lot of division titles if you're doing that. And that's the kind of team that the Blue Jays are. And I think that one thing we can talk about is, and we'll get to this after, is I think Bo Bichette is a great kind of like microcosm of what the Blue Jays have been, where things seemed worse than they were all along. It was like Bo Bichette struggling, people were complaining, but it's like he still was like, at worst, he was a league average hitter, and his defense is in there. But as you and I have said so many times, he's playing every day, he's putting that work in, he knows what he can do. And now, of course, you don't expect him to get as hot as he's been, but like, this is what can happen, right? When we talk about consistency, I feel like Bo Bichette is the great example. He goes in and he works and he knows what he needs to do. And he knows he's confident in his belief. He makes tweaks, he makes adjustments, but he's still at his core is who he is. And he's not going to just change that in some random June because he's in a slump, right? This is how he got to where he is. This is how he became one of the best shortstops in the game at 24 years old. That's what's going to continue to take him along. And now we're seeing it. It's all kind of clustered together, a little big bunch of cluster luck, sort of. When that balls are going out and he's just making great contact and having great at-bats. And he's seeing the ball really well. And that plate appearance against Jason Adam was exactly that too. But I feel like that's sort of what the Blue Jays have been, where like they're a good team and they've got good players, and the best could still very much be ahead of them when they get on one of those runs like we saw them in last September, where it's just hit after hit after hit, and they're not winning one run games, which they've done a really good job of this year. They're winning like you said, blowing people out and like putting the boots to Tampa and leaving the Orioles in the dust where they belong. I would say the thing about the Yankees, I think the Blue Jays could catch the Yankees if they had an extra series against them, but they don't. I think just the one series is really going to limit them. And it's a real shame because it would be fun to have an extra series and put that extra bit of pressure on that Yankees team. The other reason I think that the Blue Jays will have a hard time catching the Yankees is because you cannot count on the Red Sox to do anything. They're not even that bad a team. They're like 3 or 4 games below 500. You watch them, they'll go and they'll just beat the snot out of a bunch of teams in a row. It's like, oh boy, the Red Sox won like 5 or 6. You know, they're coming on. And then they go and they've got the Yankees. They're beating them or they're ahead. And then next thing you know, they just Red Sox all over the place. Cannot trust them. Cannot count on them. They're dangerous. they are dangerous. They're a dangerous bunch. They are loose cannons. Stay away from the Red Sox. And the Blue Jays only get one more series against them, which is a shame because they've just beat up on them so badly this year.
Yeah, and when you look at the remaining schedule, they obviously have Tampa, Baltimore, Philadelphia, who sneaky, pretty solid team, Tampa, New York, Boston, and then obviously Baltimore. And I feel like it's not an easy remaining schedule for them, but they have played those teams well. They play the Yankees pretty well every single series, I feel like, this season. Again, it'll be interesting how they finish off the year. And obviously, we can look ahead. They still got 2 big games against the Rays, but I feel like that if they continue to win series, not necessarily sweep these teams, but win series, then they can find themselves close to the maybe knocking the Yankees off. But it'll be tough. It'll be tough. But I feel like people keep asking, oh, where would you want who do you want the Blue Jays to face? And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to go down that road. I'm not even going to touch that subject because as soon as you say, give me the Cleveland Guardians, then then you get a taste of the Cleveland Guardians and then they knock you out. Or, oh, give me the Seattle Mariners. And then it's like, like in the playoffs, once you get in there, I get in there and then do your job. And that's it. I don't care who they face. It don't matter if it's the Guardians or the Chicago White Sox or whoever it is. You don't sit there and say, oh yeah, that's who I want. What do you think?
I don't want to play that game at all. They're all good teams, right? The Mariners, you'd be a fool to overlook them, right? The Mariners had all that one run game luck last year, and then they set out and were like, let's make our team better. And they really, really did. Eugenio Suarez having an amazing year, and he was like a salary dump. The Reds were like, will you pay him? And the Mariners said, sure. And he's been huge, huge for them. And obviously, you know, you wouldn't have expected Julio to do exactly what he's done already this year, but like a monster and a star. And like the Mariners are no joke. And so I'm not saying like sign me up for the Mariners. If you've been watching the Blue Jays for more than this year, you want nothing to do with the Rays. Cleveland came to Toronto and just beat the Blue Jays bad. They slapped them around and they scored a bunch of runs and they did some things that they hit the ball over the fence and then they did all that crazy Guardian stuff where they slapped and ran and stole. And, you know, they did what the Rays can do it to the Blue Jays. And, you know, bless Randy Arozarena. I love that. To me, that's the way you play the game. Run like a maniac. Like they kept saying, run until they get you out. And if they don't, then keep going. And that's my personal philosophy. Not when I play, I'm too old and slow, but like I admire that in a player. And that's how Cleveland plays too. And it can be good, but the Blue Jays can beat anybody. The Blue Jays can beat anybody. And you know, you mentioned the Phillies, and I'm looking at the Phillies rotation. I'm like, who are they going to get when they're here? Looks like when they face them, they might get Syndergaard. Blue Jays beat Zach Wheeler and they beat him up pretty good when they played the Phillies earlier in the year. You know, there's plenty of the Blue Jays can beat anybody. There's not a team, you know, even the Dodgers. Not worry about that, you know, later October. But like, there's nobody in the American League that should scare you if you're a Blue Jays fan. You have to be wary. I understand that any of those teams they're all good, but I don't care who they face. I know that they may or may not be the favorite when they get in there, but there's no team Blue Jays cannot beat because they're really good. They have a really deep lineup. They have a really good bullpen and they have a lot of really good and effective starting pitching that is the envy of a lot of teams around the league, I'm quite sure.
Yeah. No, if anything, you just hope that they hold on to the top wild card spot so that they do play at home. I think that would be huge because we've seen playoffs in Toronto, how packed, how loud, how much that can affect, you know, the other team and stuff like that. So if anything, you want them to, even though if they were to finish second in the wild card and Seattle finishes first, wouldn't it be interesting if they go to Seattle with the crowd set, the Toronto Blue Jays get there? It would be really, really cool, like, to see that too and be like, man, it's a possibility. It can be a split, man.
The Mariners haven't played in the playoffs since 2001, and then they host a game in their own building and it's full of Blue Jays fans,
which could be a big possibility. I mean, although I feel like obviously Seattle Mariner fans would probably be like, don't sell your tickets to Blue Jay fans, but I feel like Blue Jay Canadian fans,
money talks,
yeah,
money
talks. And those people from Vancouver would trickle on down to Seattle and make that trip. So it'll be interesting. I mean, I feel like if they finish first or second, if them or Seattle finish first or second, it's a win. It can be a win-win for the Blue Jays.
The other question, the sort of unanswered or the unspoken piece, I've seen a few Mariners fans that I interact with mentioning it, but like, what if Robbie Ray can't come to Canada? Right? Has Robbie Ray, you know, that would, you know, Robbie Ray's the big one. There were a couple of players. I can't remember exactly who in Seattle came to Toronto, but like Robbie Ray was the one that they kind of danced around by just leaving him back. They didn't put him on the restricted list or anything, but like, that's huge. The other thing that I'm thinking about, the advantage of being in the first wild card position is you have, hopefully, say the Blue Jays go on a big run, right? So they keep winning like 6 out of 7 or like 7 out of 10 for the next week or so, and they build up a little bit of a lead, you can start to line up your rotation with that playoff series in mind. Because if you're Seattle and you're fighting or against Tampa, or, you know, I think Baltimore's, maybe I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I think Baltimore's season's kind of done. But like, if you're fighting and needing to win every single game, then maybe you don't get the opportunity to pick who gets to go where. Maybe you're like, well, we need Logan Gilbert to win this game, so he's out in any kind of a wild card series. Or, you know, do you want to trust, you know, Marco Gonzalez against the Blue Jays on the road at home? Or, you know, I don't know. But, you know, just win games, just keep winning games, and the Blue Jays are doing that. They're doing exactly that. So I'll ask you one more thing, I guess, then. Do you think that maybe the Orioles have kind of shot their shot, and they're going to finish with a nice record and be okay, but this might be it for them?
Man, I'm one not to get ahead of myself like that. I don't like counting them out. But 5 games is the way stuff is going right now. It's a lot of ground. Like, even though, like, to anybody, like, when you see the standings, you're like, oh, 5 games? How hard can that be? Boy, it's pretty hard, because for a while, the Baltimore Orioles were a game and a half or 2 games, and you thought that was going to be a possibility, but it's just like everything has to go right for them to make up ground. Like, and all the teams have to lose, or 2 out of 3, and it's just not an easy thing. And I feel like the way the Seattle Mariners are going right now, it's going to be tough for them not to make the playoffs. The way the Tampa Bay Rays pitch and go out there and play the game, I just feel like it's not going to happen. So, I mean, I feel like they've had a tremendous run. They've had such a good run. They've been a fun team to watch and follow. And Adley Rutschman is, I feel like he's a star in the making. He's going to be that guy for them for a very, very long time. And I feel like they the pieces that they have and the future that they have coming, it's good that they're going to compete. And obviously the AL East is a beast itself. So they probably have to add some big names there to be able to, I think, to compete and be at the top of that division. But is it possible? Yeah. But as far as their season being over, I'll wait till the 162nd game to make that call.
Very, very diplomatic. I think that's fair. The Orioles are in tough, because it's, say they sweep the Jays on the weekend on the road, which is, you know, not super likely. Or even if, say, they win 2 of 3, then they only really gain 1 game in the standings, and it's on the Jays, but there's still Seattle and Tampa that are in there in that mix. So they need to not only win all these head-to-head games, but they need help. And that really is what makes it tough. They have 4 games coming up against Houston. They get the Yankees. They get the Red Sox again, who you cannot trust. So do not trust the Red Sox. Do not expect them to do anything against Baltimore. And then the final series of the year is against the Blue Jays. So that could be Baltimore throwing everything in a last ditch effort to try to sneak in. They need to come in and sweep those games. But if you're a Blue Jays fan, you're hoping that let's have it done and dusted, maybe. We haven't really spoken about Bo Bichette. Obviously, he's on an incredible heater. Just a great performance. And like I sort of touched on a little bit, He's doing everything so well, pulling the ball, hitting the ball the other way, taking good pitches, earning himself better pitches later on in the at bat with it, with that aggression. That's early, you know, early in the count aggression that kind of gets him maybe some pitches that he doesn't deserve, but kind of a bit of a mind game later on. But just, he looks great. It's rare to see someone get this hot for this long, right? He's just been incredible. But the best part is that he's not having to carry the team. He's coming up with big hits and getting on base, but there's so many of the other guys around him right now are really helping to carry the load as well.
Yeah, no, he's been unbelievable, man. And I mean, when a guy's locked in like that, you're just like, you tip your hat off to him as a pitcher. You're just like, okay, where are those cold zones? Where are those hot zones? What is he doing right? But it just seems like the way he's taking pitches. And I feel like yesterday against Fairbanks, it almost seemed like he wanted to foul off that 3-2 pitch. It's almost like he stuck his bat out and that thing stayed fair. But most of the time when guys are in protection mode and they kind of flick the bat at it, they hope it goes foul. Even like as hot as he's going, you see the frustration at the end of the game that he just, God, like he put some good swings on some balls and he took some good pitches. And that to me tells me how locked in he is, the way he's taking pitches, the way he's kind of reacting to certain off-speed pitches and how his, you know, sometimes you can buckle a guy's knees or kind of make him flinch a little bit, and he is like right on pitches. And when you're in that zone, man, I don't know what it's like because I wasn't a hitter, but in talking to the greats of, like, you know, Edwin Encarnacion, Bautista, and they just talk about how slow the game looks, how you can see every single lace coming at you. And I'm like, I can imagine that because it's still 60 feet, 6 inches. It's still pretty damn close. And these guys are throwing hard and he's making it look easy. So credit to him. And again, credit to his routine and the way he stuck to it. I feel like, again, he's a guy that gets criticized a lot and was getting criticized throughout the season for not having the season that we all wanted him to have. But to him, he just stuck to his routine, stuck to what he knows what to do. And we talked about it last week. I mean, he's peaking at the right time. This is what the Jays needed out of him. And I mean, when you're, you know, 87 RBIs on the season, that's a lot. And he's made up a lot of ground here lately, but 24 tanks, I mean, from your shortstop is still pretty damn good. And I feel like he's not done. He's going to continue to have, I feel like this is just going to be, when you're locked in like that, I think he's going to carry it on even longer and longer and longer into the playoffs. And I'm excited for him. I mean, he's a kid that, again, doesn't show much emotion, or in his interviews, he's very, you know, straightforward, doesn't give you long answers or anything like that. But I feel like he's so passionate about the game. He wants to win so bad, and you got to credit him and everything he's done this season.
I think it's fair to say he's not going to continue like this forever. He's not going to have like a 1700 OPS for the month of September. That would be nice, but I don't think it's likely. But it's just it's the difference between a team like the Blue Jays and a team like the Angels, for example, where like they can ride this heater from Bo, but when he returns to earth, there are so many other guys who just feel like they're ready right there to break out as well, that they can now they step up. And that now if Vlad gets on one of his streaks where everything is a missile, everything, it's like he's hitting these lasers to right center field, then he's hitting the ball out to left field when Matt Chapman can do what he does. And then now as we started to see George Springer sort of slowly come back and be the guy that he's been. And he's, George Springer's having a really good year. You know, he's been healthy and he's out there, and he's, you know, George Springer's 124 OPS plus, right? Like right there, basically the same as Bo after this crazy heater. You know, he's got 20 home runs now, went over the 20 home run mark last night. So like, there are just so many other guys that can take that baton and continue to run, and it really makes the Blue Jays a dangerous team. This all could change, of course, if the Blue Jays end up losing this series to Tampa and then have a bad weekend against Baltimore. I'll be back here. You and I'll be back here being like, what's going on? What has happened to this team? But I think we've seen that they are, that, you know, this is who they are and who they can be. And they're a really good team that has a good chance to beat anybody on any night and can probably give every team in the American League more than a handful come the playoffs. And I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be super fun, man. And again, it's a team that hasn't even hit its ceiling yet. I mean, we've seen different guys carry the team throughout the year. I mean, from Springer to Vladdy to Bo now. Even Alejandro Kirk, the first half, he was unbelievable. He's kind of, you know, obviously not the Kirk that we're used to seeing, but he can run really fast, so that's good. you talk about Randy Arozarena, I talk about Alejandro Kirk.
The same guy, basically the same thing, same approach. You can't stop him.
No, but it's good. And then we've seen their pitching dominate at times. We've seen their pitching not dominate at times and still be carried. And to be able to be in this position where they're at right now, hey, this is where they need to be. This is where they're at right now. And I think they're embracing this where they're at right now in the standings. And there's nothing they can do. I mean, they can't keep worrying about other teams. I said it this a long time ago. They can't keep worrying. You can't worry about what the Yankees are doing. You can't worry about the Baltimore Orioles are doing. You got to worry about yourself. And I feel like they're embracing that and they're coming out there and giving it all they got. And shoot, if I'm a fan, I always say this. If I'm a fan, I wish I was in Toronto right now and going to the ballpark and checking this team out, because they're worth it. And I feel like they're fun and they're passionate. Just look at them and the fun that they're having in the dugout. I mean, this is definitely something that you want to be a part of as a fan.
Always fun when you're winning. Blue Jays look to continue to do that as they finish the series against the Rays and look ahead to the Orioles on the weekend. Lots of good times to be had. As I said, be back with Caitlin next week, and we'll be back again with me and Ricky talking about your Toronto Blue Jays on this show, which is called SpinRate, which is the Athletic's Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Make sure you head over to theathletic.com/SpinRate and subscribe to the Athletic if you haven't already. Subscribe to the show. His name is Ricky. My name is Drew. We'll talk to you next time on SpinRate.